We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, and thanks for joining me on The Garden Show. We'll be abbreviated this morning. We'll be finishing up at 10 o'clock to make way for the LSU-Alabama game, which I wouldn't be on my show doing it. I'd be listening to the game anyway, so we might as well make room for it. They've got all kind of great programming and all kind of before-the-game things going on, so analysis and all kind of stuff. So we'll have a good time for an hour, but that means you got to get your call in before the end of the show. So don't dilly-dally today. You got something on your mind, a burning question, maybe a pest problem that's cropped up. Despite the cooler weather, pest problems will continue all the way through the cool season. And by the way, welcome to the cool season. From now on until March of next year, we'll see mild weather punctuated by a cold ranging from a moderate cold to extreme cold. We never know how cold it's going to get here during the winter time, but it's a time that that we can you know, get lots of things done in our gardens. There's lots of things to do in our gardens. And we will have, I promise you, lots of mild, beautiful days like today and tomorrow to get our gardening work done. So, again, as the chilly weather moves in, don't you dare, you know, start going, ooh, it's getting cold. It's time to move inside and let the yard go for the rest of the season. If you're an avid gardener in particular, there's lots and lots of things that you can be doing. Planting. We've got a potentially hard freeze coming up first of this season, early next week, that will probably hit the North Shore and, you know, Baton Rouge and other areas. The more protected area south of Lake Pontchartrain probably, as always, will stay a little bit more moderate and not get quite as cold. So perhaps a light freeze in the South Shore New Orleans area, but that doesn't bother or scare me at all. Now, don't be nervous. We always get so nervous down here when the freezes first start coming. Do be aware of your tropicals, and this is a great day. Should have been really no damage from the temperatures last night. Upper 30s normally doesn't really hurt anything, although you may see some chilling injury to some really tender things in the vegetable garden. If you didn't cover your tomatoes or peppers or cucumbers that you might have in, you might see some chilling injury, a little browning in some of the leaves. Not frost damage or freeze damage, but a chilling injury. And so you might see something like that going on, but come next week, we will see what we call a killing frost, and that a freeze, and that will definitely damage a lot of the tropical plants in the landscape. And so last night, not so much, but coming up next week, today is a great time to wander around your landscape, evaluating where you have tropical plants or not hardy plants growing, decide what's worth dealing with and what you're just going to leave alone. So say, for instance, you may have a bed of impatiens, and impatiens are a wonderful summer bedding plant. They come from the tropics, so they don't take freezes. And when it gets cold and we get our first hard freeze, impatiens usually go down. Coleus usually goes down, but, you know, very few people cover impatiens and coleuses. These are our bedding plants that are meant to be temporary in our landscapes and not live for years and years. So typically speaking, we don't defend those all that much. When the cold takes out a summer bedding plant, we just pull them out and put in pansies and dianthus and alyssum and all the wonderful snapdragons, all the wonderful cool season bedding plants that will keep that garden looking beautiful and colorful and thriving through the winter, instead of looking like a bunch of bedraggled, burned back impatiens that just wish they were anywhere else in the world. So we don't protect that sort of stuff usually. So look at your tropical plants that you have that that might need a little help. Those that are in containers, I definitely move those inside your house or at least inside a garage for best protection. If you can't, at least gather your container plants up under cover, like on a back porch right up against your house. That cover does provide some protection. And this may not be a really long freezing event. Hard to say how many hours it's going to be, but that may help. But I would tell you, for things that you really love and you really don't want to see damaged or hurt, those definitely need to go inside or go into a garage to get them out of harm's way. And then, of course, have your materials on hand. Decide what you want to cover, and then have your materials on hand. And then cover things as needed early next week. Again, don't try to defend everything. This is not a horrendous freeze. It's not going to, so far, get down in the mid to low 20s and cause real damage. It doesn't look like our citrus trees are going to be hurt. Certainly not the trees themselves. Usually come through temperatures in the upper 20s just fine. So we really don't have to worry that much about our citrus. The fruit, I've had some questions on what to do with the fruit of citrus trees, whether to strip it or not. And that's a good question as well. And we can look into that. There are some guidelines that I can give you for that. But right now, when we come back, I will jump right into that. But right now, I got to take a quick break. So y'all stay tuned. We're going to have this break, and then we will be right back, y'all, with more of The Garden Show. Stay tuned. Good morning. Thanks for joining me on The Garden Show. I'm Dan Gill, and I'm talking gardening. If you got a gardening question this morning, do feel free to call on in. When we went to break, I told you about citrus fruit and when we need to be more concerned about taking the fruit off, because if the fruit freezes on the tree, it's ruined. So if you have ripe fruit before a major freeze, it's always a good idea to get all the ripe fruit off the tree and inside where it's protected. The freeze that we see coming up next week does not appear to endanger the fruit in most areas. So what we're looking at for fruit damage is mid-20s and freezing temperatures around 8 hours or so. So when you see 25 degrees or lower being predicted, when they're talking about the freeze episode lasting for, you know, 10 or 12 hours, then you need to get out and get your ripe fruit off the tree. For things like some of the oranges and grapefruits, they're just not quite ripe yet in many instances, and so that can be an issue. But if the fruit is ripe, like satsumas and lemons and things like that, go ahead and get them off. But the freeze predicted does not appear to be substantial enough to cause us to do that, to strip our trees of their fruit, our citrus trees. All right, let's head to the phones. We got Mike calling in from Covington first. Mike, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Dan. My question is, I have satsuma trees and blueberry bushes that I want to transplant. I need to know what is the best time to transplant each, and I am on a North Shore in bush, and also, should they be trimmed back anytime during the process?
Mike, make sure that the citrus that you're planning on moving are really quite small, maybe haven't been planted more than a few years at the most. Large trees that have been ground for a goodly while have such large root systems, it makes it hard to move them successfully. So again, I would only consider moving a relatively small young citrus tree. Blueberries are not as large a growing plant, so you can get blueberries just about at any reasonable age and move them. The blueberries should be, are hardy fruit, and they should be moved during the winter months. So really, anytime in late November, December, January would be a good time to move the blueberries. The citrus are not completely hardy. We have cold issues, as I've just been talking about with citrus. So we don't want to disturb a citrus tree or bother it going into the winter, because that will compromise what hardiness it has and make it more prone to cold damage. So leave your citrus trees alone and wait until the coldest part of the winter is past, but it's still cool. And dig up your citrus and move them then. And that would be sometime around about late February or March to move your citrus trees. So the blueberries, go ahead and get that done sometime in late November, December, January. The citrus trees, late February or March would be your best time.
Okay, and with the blueberry bushes, they're not very big. They're planting in a bad area, and I'm moving them from one crop to another. Should they be trimmed back or just try to take them hold and move them?
Yeah, just move them. The only reason for trimming back would be is if the plant's just too unwieldy to try to move. It's so big, you just can't physically deal with it. You got to trim it some. But otherwise, leave them alone. But Mike, whether you're successful or not depends entirely and almost completely on getting enough of the root system. So gotcha. It's not how deep. You don't need to go more deeper than maybe a foot or so. But do come out for a generously wide root ball. And again, get as much of the root system as you can. Have the hole pre-prepared and ready to go where the plants will go. And don't let the roots dry out. Once you get that plant out of the ground, make sure you keep those roots properly damp before you get it planted again.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Good luck, Mike. All righty. Another Mike calling in from Metairie. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning. I got a friend of mine. I got some fruit trees, orange trees, lemon tree, and satsuma tree. But the orange and the satsuma tree got hit with that same fungus. And I got a friend of mine down in Venice. He's got like 60, 70 trees. He says he's been fighting this fungus forever. It's almost impossible to get rid of this fungus. And
Mike,
I've even seen
Mike, you just keep saying fungus. What kind of fungus?
Well, it's that rust color fungus, and it turns the leaves. It makes the leaves shrivel up, and it's got brown
there isn't
spots
any,
on the outer skin of the
Mike,
fruit.
Hey, Mike, there isn't any fungus that makes the leaves shrivel up.
Well, whatever's eating them leaves is doing pretty good, shriveling them up.
Yeah. Well, it's an insect. Mike, it's an insect. It's probably easier. I got to say, sometimes when we call and we kind of have it in our mind what's going on, and it can lead us down all kind of roads. And sometimes it's easier just to say, okay, here's my problem. Here are the symptoms I'm seeing. What do you think is going on with my trees? And so if you called me, Mike, and said, look, Dan, I've got these shriveled up deformed leaves all over my citrus tree, that's more helpful to me than saying I have
a
fungus. All right, so here's the deal. It's an insect called the citrus leaf miner, and it attacks the new growth that came out in June and July, around about that time. And all that new growth that came out was affected by the citrus leaf miner, and that's why it's deformed looking. It looks terrible, but it's really not that bad for the tree. The tree will shed those deformed leaves next year, send out lots of good, healthy new growth. So there's really no need to be concerned, and it's way too late to do any kind of treatment now. The damage is done. So don't be concerned about all those deformed leaves you see on your citrus tree.
And what about the skin of the fruit that has the brown spots on it and stuff like that, too?
Well, brown spots on the fruit, corky, raised, round brown
like
spots.
Looks like
somebody took a cigarette and rust colored and just kind of burned the fruit over and over again. That is a disease called a citrus. Boy, I'm getting old, y'all. Scab. That's citrus canker disease.
Side.
Boy, you know when your mind goes blank like that. But Mike, that's citrus canker. Sounds like citrus canker. That's actually a bacterial infection, and we have no cure for that. Once a tree is infected with canker, so what you need to do, Mike, is go online and do an internet search for citrus canker. Look at the photo, and then hit the images button. Look at photos of what citrus canker looks like, both on the fruit. It also affects the leaves. If you see those symptoms on your tree, then you know it has citrus canker. There's nothing you can do about it. Usually the trees will gradually weaken over time and stop producing. And oftentimes we just cut down trees that have citrus canker if we have other trees to keep it from spreading to those other trees.
And the oil aside does not help.
Doesn't help in either of those problems.
I'll be dying. All right, well, I'll look it up. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hey, Mike, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. And you gave me the ability to kind of tell everybody about calling in, too. So, Mike, you're a trooper. I appreciate that.
Hey, you gave me the right answer. Now I know what to call it. I know what to look for now. Thank you, sir.
All righty, Mike, you take it easy. All righty, up next is Anthony calling in from Harahan. Anthony, good morning.
Good morning, sir. I've got a problem with some sick blueberries. I've got 6 rabbit eye blueberries growing in 25-gallon pots, and on 2 of them, the new growth is sort of a yellowish-white color, and the leaves will be yellowish-white for a couple of feet down the new growth, and then they'll start to turn blue-green. But I'm figuring I have some kind of a deficiency.
Well, how have you been fertilizing them, Anthony?
I've got some azalea fertilizer, and they said that blueberries don't take much fertilizer, but I put, I can't remember how many ounces of azalea fertilizer on them.
And you did that when?
Oh, it's been a few months ago.
Well, you may need to fertilize again. Was it a liquid?
No, it's
a granular?
Fertilome. It's Fertilome azalea fertilizer, azalea and.
And so it's a powder kind of that you just or granular.
Yeah, right.
Well, double check the label and see how long the fertilizer lasts. This is not a time that we're really fertilizing our plants, but it may be an iron deficiency. That's common in blueberries. What kind of soil do you have them planted in, Anthony?
I've got a 1:1:1 of peat moss, shredded pine bark, and that white stuff. I can't remember the name
like
of
perlite?
It. Like perlite? Perlite.
Yeah. Well, sounds like a decent medium. When did the symptoms first start?
Well, when they started
And how long have you had the blueberries?
I've had one of the blueberries. I've had it for it's years and years. And,
okay.
And the other one, not that long, but several years.
And it's 2 pots, and both pots are doing it.
Right.
Anthony, I got to tell you, I'm a little bemused. Seeing the symptoms would be very helpful, and I can't. But I would recommend that you contact the LSU Ag Center in your area and speak to one of your local horticulturists. You may be able to send some photographs into them, email some photographs into them, or bring some samples by the office. I'm like you. I'm inclined to think it's more of a soil mineral nutrient problem than an insect or disease problem. But I don't know why a plant that's been growing happily in a pot for years would suddenly start doing that with the same care it's been getting all these years at the same time as a new one started doing it. So I'm kind of bemused and puzzled. Anthony, to get your extension contact, just do an internet search for LSU Ag Center Jefferson Parish, and that'll bring up the links to your extension office, and you can email or call one of the horticulturists and pursue this more. I wouldn't be panicked. I don't think you're losing them necessarily, but I know you want to see this resolved.
Yeah, one thing I should say is that the 2 blueberries that have these white to yellow leaves on them are the ones that are growing the most vigorously.
Well, that's, again, I wouldn't panic at this point. But I would pursue it. And as far as fertilization goes, again, it's late in the year to fertilize with a complete fertilizer. But on the chance that it might be an iron deficiency, you can apply an iron fertilizer this time of the year. They don't stimulate growth. So look at your local nursery for liquid iron or ironite or one of the iron plant fertilizers and use that per label directions. See if you might be able to get a little improvement there. But again, don't forget to contact your local extension office.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I thought I heard a voice. So I wanted to remind you all. I mentioned this to y'all last week. A really great plant sale going on today. You know, the LSU Ag Center has a plant selection program called Louisiana Superplants, and the Ag Center appreciating the fact that one of our most common questions from gardeners is, you know, what are the best plants to use in my landscape here in Louisiana? The idea for this program got started that we could identify really great, outstanding plants that have a history of outstanding and reliable performance, that performed well under research studies and trials, and make the public aware of those, select those and make the public aware of those. And that's called the Louisiana Superplant Program. It's been going on since 2010. And every year in the spring and the fall, the LSU releases a couple of three superplant names. And they can be bedding plants for the summer or the winter, fruiting plants, blueberries is a Louisiana superplant, trees and shrubs are all included in this. Well, sometimes when you find about these great superplants, finding them in the local nursery, you think every nursery would carry these outstanding plants, but sometimes you don't see them there. Well, going on today at the Botanical Garden in New Orleans in City Park is a really great event that is specializing in the Louisiana superplants. How wonderful to go to a plant sale and know that every plant being sold has been rated superior by the LSU Ag Center horticulturist for its either decades of reliable performance or outstanding performance in comparison trials. These are plants that have superiority in some way that makes them outstanding. It kicks off today at 10 o'clock, and it'll run until 4 o'clock this afternoon. So you've got plenty of time to get yourself together and stop by there. It's a beautiful day for plant shopping. It'll be a beautiful day tomorrow for planting in the ground. And the cold is not an issue for the plants that they're going to be selling. They're going to be selling cool season bedding plants and hardy trees and shrubs that are Louisiana superplant selections. In addition, they're going to have some great people on hand to talk to you about your plant selections and answer your gardening questions. Anna Timmerman, the extension horticulturist with Jefferson Parish, and Dr. Joe Willis, the extension horticulturist in Orleans, will be there, along with master gardeners. So not only can you get the plants, but you can have somebody explain them to you, how they grow here, when they bloom, how to take care of them properly to make sure they perform really well for you. The sale is open to the public, and there's no admission. And it's right there at the front entrance of the Botanical Garden on Victory Avenue. So this is a cooperative effort between the New Orleans Botanical Garden and the LSU Ag Center and the LSU Ag Center Master Gardener Program. And what a wonderful opportunity on a beautiful day to get some great plants. All righty, folks, let's take a quick break. If you've got a gardening question, call on in. Get lined up and you'll be ready to go when we come back. That number to call, 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Call me up and we'll see you right after the break. Good morning. Feel free to call on in with your gardening question. Don't forget, it is a hour show today. So we're going to wrap it up at 10 to make way for the LSU-Alabama game. So call on in if you got something I can help you out with. And don't let the program go by without getting the information you need to make your plants grow as good as you want them to. Let's head to the phones and talk to Herbert, calling in from Marrero. Herbert, good morning.
Good morning, Dan. I had these bushes, I guess you call them shrubs. The leaves are small and they're maroon and green. And they're not doing too well. Look like my neighbor across the street, his are doing fine. Can you give me any suggestions?
That's a hard one. You know, Herbert, it's going, it essentially is like saying, I have a bush and it's not doing too well. What should I do for it? I don't know what the bush is. I don't know why it's not doing well. I don't know how it looks. I don't know how the symptoms. So this is going to make it hard for me to help in this particular situation.
I guess you call them shrubs.
How long have you had these shrubs, Herbert?
Oh, I've had them for a long time, probably about 6 years.
And when did they start looking so bad?
It's not that. They're not growing full. They're like, you know, I don't do anything to them. They're not growing, you know, they're kind of scraggly.
So is this how they've been basically for the last 6 years?
Yeah, I don't do anything to them.
Then, Herbert, I think they are what they're going to be.
Okay. Can you tell me any kind of maintenance you do to those kind of plants?
Well, they may not like the location. And that's not a maintenance issue. That's a location environmental issue. So say, for instance, you've got yours planted in a shady spot and your neighbors have theirs planted in a sunny spot. Well, theirs are doing wonderful because this is a shrub that loves the sun. I don't know because I don't know what the shrub is. But you see, that's what I'm getting at. Or it's a shrub that likes good drainage, and your neighbor's shrubs get good drainage. But your shrubs are in a bed that doesn't drain all that well, and they've never really thrived or really looked beautiful in that location. They've always kind of struggled a little bit and looked kind of straggly, and maybe not as pretty as you'd wanted them to be. So it may be a location problem. You can't change the environment. Some things you could try doing, Herbert. I'd leave it alone for now. There's not anything that we do to our plants really this time of the year. But next year in the spring, trim them back some. How tall are they?
They're about 4 feet.
Well, cut them back a foot or two.
Uh-huh.
And then fertilize them. Give them a nice general-purpose fertilizer. Doesn't matter. Just any kind of general-purpose fertilizer. Follow the package directions. And do that around about March. And then fertilize them again around about June or July and see if cutting them back will stimulate vigorous new growth and make them look bushier and fuller, and see if the fertilizer you apply increases their vigor and makes them grow better and makes them grow stronger. And perhaps that would help them to do better. Again, I can't go into a disease or an insect without knowing a whole lot more. But it's very likely this is an environmental situation, since over such a long period of time, they have never really thrived in that location.
Okie dokie. Thank you, Dan.
Well, good luck, Herbert. I hope that cutting back, sometimes if we cut a plant back, it scares it so much it does better for us. So good luck with it, Herbert.
Thank you.
All righty. Up next, we've got Ivan calling in from Covington. Good morning, Ivan.
Good morning, Mr. Gill. I have a question. I've been trying to grow San Agustin grass in my yard, you know, and I tried this year. I bought a pallet of it with some dirt because it was so dry. I guess I didn't water enough. The grass is, the whole thing is dying. My question is, do they sell seeds? San Agustin seeds, I'm going to try that and see.
They do not.
Okay, all right. Somebody was telling me, I said, I don't think so.
Well, it doesn't produce viable seeds, so we have to go with sod with San Agustin. Why wasn't grass growing there before, Ivan? Why did you have to lay new sod?
When I first moved here 26 years ago, I mean, the trees were kind of small, you know what I'm saying? Then they started growing and growing, and got really big. So I cut a bunch of branches. I paid somebody to come and cut a bunch of branches, thinking maybe the sun will help, and then I put the grass down. So I don't know. That's probably why it's not growing, because it's too shady, you know?
Well, that's an issue that's very difficult to overcome. Ivan, St. Augustine will grow with some shade. And it is our most shade tolerant. So if St. Augustine won't grow, then you're not going to get Bermuda or centipede or zoysia to grow well in those areas either. So you may have to find out where the grass will grow and find out where it will not grow because of the shade. And the areas where it will not grow can be simply mulched to keep them neat and attractive. Areas around trees can be mulched 4 inches thick with the mulch to make it look finished. If you just have bare dirt, it just looks bad. But if you have an area that's mulched, it looks like you've taken care of it. It's neat, it's maintained, and that can make a big difference. Another option would be shade-loving ground covers that you can consider as well.
Yeah.
But at some point, Ivan, as you try to get the grass to grow, you're going to have to become convinced, and you have to convince yourself that there's just not enough light, and then move on from there.
I put some ground cover, you know, around a magnolia tree. It's taking a long time. It's growing, but I'm not as fast as I want to, you know, so I don't know how long it takes the ground cover.
At least if it's surviving, you know.
Yeah, it's not dead.
And what did you plant, Ivan? I didn't catch it.
It's called, they say, call it ground cover. I bought it from Home Depot. It's little leaves.
Ground cover is like saying it's a tree. It doesn't tell me much about what it is. So, okay. But Ivan, you may want to look into those as well. But you don't plant a few. You plant a bunch over a large area. So, again, we come between a rock and a hard place when it comes to growing lawns in shady areas. And when we've done our best, we've laid sod, it's died, we've laid sod and it's died, at some point we have to move on and come up with a different solution. So you may be at that point right now. Think about ways that you can deal with that if you can't grow grass there.
Yeah, because it looks really bad. I'm gonna try some seeds of centipede or what is the other grass called?
Ivan, when it's a shady area, we never recommend seeds. It's hard enough just to get the grass to live. It's not going to thrive. So if you plant seeds, you expect those young plants to grow vigorously and fill in. They're just not going to do that in a shady area. So we always lay sod in shady areas, hoping that at least the sod will survive. But if sod can't survive, seedlings have no chance whatsoever.
Okay. All right. I got to figure something out. No problem.
Okay, Ivan. Thanks. Well, look, in the coming weeks, if you get some other ideas, call on in if I can help.
I will. Thanks.
All right. All righty, folks, time for a break. Stay tuned, and we will be right back. Good morning. Getting towards the end. Remember, we're ending after an hour today due to the LSU-Alabama game. But up right now, we got Martha on the line calling in from Metairie. Hey, Martha, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for all you do to inform us about plants. We lost a ponderosa lemon, and we're trying to find a replacement. Can you give us a suggestion on where we might find the ponderosa lemon?
Oh, Martha, unfortunately, I don't have the inventories of all the nurseries in your area to know what they're carrying or what they're not carrying. So I really couldn't tell you specifically that X nursery has ponderosa lemons. But I will tell you, Martha, that ponderosa lemons are not unknown here. After all, you already had a ponderosa lemon growing in your yard, and you got that from a local nursery. So local nurseries do sometimes carry ponderosa lemons. And by all means, if you have a local nursery that you tend to go to regularly, talk to the manager or the owner of that nursery and say, look, when you order your citrus trees, and it's not the time to plant a citrus right now. The winter is right around the corner, so this is a terrible time to look for a tree to plant it. Spring is the time to plant that tree. And the nurseries usually get their new citrus trees in sometime around about January or February, and then they sell them in late February, March, and on into the spring. So talk to your local nursery or a couple local nursery managers and say, look, when you order your citrus trees, I really want a ponderosa lemon. So could you make sure you order some ponderosa lemons when you order your citrus trees? They are available. The industry is producing them. If you don't see any right now, remember, you're probably looking at the worst selection for citrus now. The trees that you see now are left over from spring, basically. So go ahead and talk to your nurseries. I think you'll probably find one eventually, Martha.
Well, thank you so much. I will do that. I had checked it some earlier, and they didn't have them. And so I was not aware that this was not the right time. So
oh, no, not
I
with
will
the winter
talk
around
to
the
them
corner.
About their orders.
Wonderful, Martha. Good luck with that. That's such a great big old lemon. It's worth
it.
Oh,
it is. And everybody admired it. People took it for their grandchildren to school and show and tell time. And I won't take any more of your time, but thank you
right.
so much for your
Martha
information.
Martha, bye. Thank you so much. And folks, appreciate you tuning in today. Don't forget, I'll be back here next Saturday, 9 o'clock to 11. I'll see y'all then. Bye-bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.